Hey, this is Emily.
And this is Sandra.
And I'm Jess, and you're listening to Town Meeting, a Gilmore Girls rewatch podcast.
Okay, so welcome to today's new episode, The Bracebridge Dinner, one of my favorites. So as a general warning, I had dental surgery this week, and so my voice might not be completely clear, or I might mess up and say wrong words. I am sorry. There is a missing tooth situation. So because of that, I'm supposed to be doing the summary this week, but Emily has very graciously decided for us to switch, or has allowed us to switch. So this week, Emily is going to be doing the quick summary.
Yay!
And she told us beforehand that she prepared for this.
I did.
So
hopefully some redemption from last week.
I did pretty well, so I'm hoping that you can also step it up this time. All right, she's got a timer on the screen.
3, 2, 1, go.
Lorelai and Rory build a snowman. Some big group has bought out the entire inn for a fancy middle medieval experience. Chris wants Rory to spend the night over her Christmas break, and Lorelai does not tell Rory. Richard is still in a terrible mood from work. Bracebridge group is snowed in. Oh no, but it's paid for, so Laura's gonna invite the whole town, all 30 people. Rory wants to invite the grandparents to dinner. Bracebridge dinner. Yay, Paris shows up. Lorelai gets sleigh rides for everyone. Liz doesn't want Jess home. Richard has retired and told no one. Emily is pissed, but they do reconcile. Lorelai freaks out over Chris's offer. Rory doesn't give an answer. Dean sees a little something between Rory and Jess. Hey. Jess destroys the ringer snowman.
Oh my god.
Oh my god.
That Bam. Was so fast.
There was so crazy. Much information.
Oh, this is what happens when I prepare.
Wow. I'm just
definitely
impressed.
No point.
I have nothing to say. You hit everything.
Oh my gosh.
You even hit Paris.
I did. I almost hit the Mrs. Kim line of people have too much stuff. And I had that in there, but then I timed it and I was like, no, that line needs to go away. It's completely unnecessary and unfortunately kills my time.
But yeah, let's start this discussion. The Bracebridge Dinner. It's the 10th episode of season mm-hmm. 2.
Yes. Yep.
And
it seems like a fan favorite. Lots of people were excited that we were recording this today.
I'm not going to lie, guys. I've seen this episode many times.
I love this.
And it holds up.
It's like a fun... It's not necessarily Christmas, but like a good, fun winter snow, like cozy episode.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Like there's not really anything bad that happens. I don't feel
and
like.
And I love that it focuses around like this one event.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes these episodes stretch like multiple weeks and they're cramming so much in. It's nice to like settle down and just be in like one place and time for one episode.
Mm-hmm. I mean, this is what probably takes place over, what, 2 or 3 days maybe?
Well, we start the episode building snowmen or snow women. And
Snowbjork.
Snowbjork. And there's like a tryhard included.
He's an artist. Everybody hates on this guy, but he is truly sculpting
his
power
buffing.
I don't disagree with you, but like he's a ringer.
You know
he
what?
Has been brought in.
Oh yeah.
I really like the panda. I don't know if you guys noticed, but someone made a panda.
There were some really cute ones.
Yeah.
A couple of times they talk about how like theirs is the obvious winner if this guy isn't around. Mm-hmm. I mean,
no.
I would argue there are some other good ones in the background, too.
Yeah, like, I mean this in the nicest way possible, but, like, it's a pretty average snowman of what you guys got going on there.
I mean, the whole Bjork thing is pretty fun, but
yes,
we'll get to that.
Well, the girls are talking, and winter break's coming up,
mm-hmm.
and, you know, Paris is Paris and has assigned a double issue. To be
which should
done.
Not be surprising.
Yeah. And Rory has to help edit. And like God, don't you remember being in school and having a break, but it's not really a break? Like those suck.
Nah, my school didn't give me that much homework over breaks.
Oh, maybe it was
yeah,
just
me either. Maybe it's more of like a private school thing.
Oh man, I've had breaks where I had to go into school.
Oh no. Yeah.
No, thank you.
I had one class that I remember, I did an AP US history class, and I had to pick one of like 10 books to read over the summer before the class. But like, it was one book.
Oh, I always had summer reading. Did you guys not have summer reading?
No.
I didn't have summer reading.
Well, what happens when you get a poor education?
No. It's just what happens when they try hard.
Intelligent, well-educated yes. women.
Let's be fair. I went to 3 separate high schools. I probably wasn't out of school long enough to get break homework.
Well, regardless, Bjork gets decapitated. The Pure snow Bjork. Woman Bjork, not the real one.
Mm-hmm.
And the girls got coffee because, honestly, I would give up too.
I mean, if the head falls off, Well, and you're already demoralized by the Scrooge next door. Next snowman over.
It is Scrooge, right?
It's definitely Scrooge, yeah.
Well, we go to, speaking of Scrooge.
Wait, which one is Scrooge? Michelle or Rune?
It's kind of a Scrooge off.
You know what? Michelle's doing his job. He's doing a really good job. Rune is the one does not doing a great job.
Rune, this is like maybe the only episode where Rune is like entertaining in any way.
Yeah.
And that's like towards the tail end of this episode. But this scene drives me nuts. Rune is trying to dust a picture frame by jumping and dusting as he gets to the top of his jump like a child.
Yeah.
Like, I remember doing that as a child when my dad told me to do something. Now, as an adult, who I can only assume is close to the same age as Rune.
Oh, God.
If I don't know. I'm assuming Rune's in his 30s.
No, I...
He's a rough 30s.
Yeah, rough 30s. Yeah, I don't. Maybe. Anyway, as an adult...
He's probably 30s.
If I'm too short for something, I get a step stool. Mm-hmm. Or, you know...
I don't have that problem.
Or take it off the wall.
I will never have that problem unless
I'm
it's
a whopping
like
5'3" and proud of it. So I was 5'1" at one point, so for a long time. Anyway.
We have a really cute Suki and Jackson scene revolving vegetables because it's Suki and Jackson.
Specifically mushrooms, which are a fungus.
Oh, not a vegetable. Well, you know.
Not a vegetable.
Same vibe. I just love Suki going through the list of different types, and then she gets to one, and Jack's like, wait, I don't have one. I don't have this one. I made it up.
It's a test. You passed.
She's so happy about it.
And Lorelai comes in and announces that the auditions are starting, right? And just real quick about the auditions, right? Because there's other things in this scene. Those auditions were awkward as hell.
Yeah, they were.
Oh, yeah. Especially the harpist who had to sit there and listen to the entire ordeal, waiting for her opportunity. And this also brings up the question of, where is Drella?
Right?
That was You guys have a harpist.
That's literally the first comment I made on this episode is, where is Drella? Like,
but we haven't seen her in season 2, so... And I mean,
Drella's...
Alex will show up later on in the series on and off, but...
Yeah, I was going to say, Alex Drella is again. Being a mom on Family Guy.
Yes.
I think we're done with Drella. I don't think we see her anymore. We see the actress elsewhere, like you said, but Drella herself is gone. Okay, but the harpist got the job, so good for her.
And the whole reason they're auditioning is for the Bracebridge dinner.
Mm-hmm. Which is going to be this big... medieval old English affair with costumes and period food and everybody talking in old English,
and it's supposed to be for this fun this seriously rich group that's coming.
Oh, it has to.
And they've bought out the entire inn. They are paying for everything.
Didn't they say they're coming in a private plane?
Yes, they did.
Coming in a private jet. Yep.
And I'm assuming if people are paying that much money, she should have gotten better than Rune.
Oh, yeah.
You know what I mean?
The fact that Rune is, like, a character that has lots of lines, which happens later, like, no, hire an actor.
Right.
Fly somebody in from New York, you know, like, come on.
I'd even say put Kirk in that role. You've hired him elsewhere.
Kirk would have been
great in that role.
Yeah.
Kirk was trying so hard, honestly, but then... Rune was a little further away from guests, which is probably for the best.
Well, you're not wrong there. But speaking of, so the harpist, like, she gets out, like, 3 notes before Lorelai takes a call.
Which
is, first off, rude. Secondly, it's not even a business call, right? It's a personal call.
Yeah.
And it's Christopher.
But she's excited. She greets him very happily.
Sure. She's very nice. Mm-hmm. Christopher wants Rory to come spend, what, one night? A couple of
just
nights?
Just some time. He just wants her to come visit. Mm-hmm. And he's never, like, again, will never defend Christopher. But I see where he's coming from in this. And he does seem to have good intentions. He's in a place where he can host her and he would like to try.
The implication is that she's never stayed over.
Never. Yeah. Spent ever. The night at her father's house.
Yeah.
But now she is because Christopher has a new girlfriend that he wants to impress.
Yeah. And a little bit more stability. He has a guest room because that's one of Lorelai's questions. It's like, do you have a place for her to stay?
By the way, guys, one of my favorite lines ever, and it's a Christopher line, which is crazy, but he says, "Where are you? Heaven?" While the harp goes in the background.
The harp in the background.
I laugh every time.
Yeah.
I just think it's so
also
good.
There was nobody else there to, like, there were just the two flute players or recorder players and they both got hired, and there was the one harp person. Can you imagine going to that audition, playing your three notes, and then having nobody else there? What if they'd said, "No, we don't want you"?
It was just like, so disrespectful, honestly. It was
then
so
you just
disrespectful.
Assume somebody else is coming at a different time,
I guess.
I don't know.
I don't know.
I'm going to go with the awkwardness of, we don't want you. You can go.
You know what? I'm going to call Drella instead.
But they are really putting in the work for this performance.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
There's going to be full costumes. It seems like they've hired extra helpers.
Oh, yeah.
So,
yeah.
Like, all of the servers are going to be in full costume.
Seven courses.
Previous scene, Jackson also got roped into being, like, the title character of Squire Bracebridge.
Which we'll talk about later. But yeah.
Because he fits the costume.
Oh, yeah.
Also because he's really good in
this role.
You know
what?
Jackson is really good in this role, yes. I love some, like, just the facial expressions and him lounging at the head of the table. We'll get there.
Yeah.
Well, before we get there, we go to Friday night dinner. Mm-hmm. And it is super quiet. It's almost depressing at this dinner.
To the point that Rory looks at Lorelai and makes a little, like, talk motion with her hand, like, mm-hmm. trying to get Lorelai to say something, anything. Because anything has to be better than this super awkward silence.
Richard's having a horrible time at work, and he just straight up leaves the dinner, right?
He's miserable.
And Lorelai shares an awful story of one time he was wearing a big suit, and to cover up the fact that he had gained some weight, and I told him he was fat.
Well, maybe not perceived slight, a blatantly obvious insult, Lorelai. That's what that actually was.
What was that, Lorelai? And what's worse, I've watched A Year in a Life recently, right? And this is not going to be the last time Lorelai does a scene like this, an inappropriate story about her dad. And I just think, yikes. That's all
it
I think.
It always makes
yikes.
Me think of the final story that she tells about her dad, though. And I'm like, at least she has a redeeming end.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, I mean, the moral of this story is Richard is miserable. Yep. So miserable to the point that, like, even Lorelai recognizes it. And it's also bringing Emily down because she just, like, can't
like, what do you
make
do?
Him happy.
Like, she tries when we do the debutante ball. Like, he's just beating her down, canceling all these events and basically ruining, I don't want to say ruining Emily's life by any means, but making things more difficult for her. Mm-hmm. And at that point, really, what do you do? Because if you cancel everything like he wants, then you're falling out of your obligations and not fulfilling things. But if you go and do all these things, then you're just going to get yelled at all the time. So, like, what do you do?
I don't know. And I feel for Emily, because, like, Emily and Richard are our team, right?
Mm-hmm.
Except
mm-hmm.
they're starting to get bumps in their team ship, let's say.
Yeah.
And I don't know, episodes where Emily and Richard fight, and, you know, in season 5, I believe, when it gets, like, real big,
Those are some of the most heartbreaking scenes for me.
Yeah.
We have one rather heartbreaking scene for me anyway. Or at least I just think Kelly Bishop did a really good job with it. But we'll discuss when we get there.
But going back to this episode, we go back to the inn and Suki's talking to the actors. And, you know, first off, Kirk is on the tiniest but thickest computer.
That was a 2000s laptop. That's just what they looked like back then.
There are some, like, government employees, especially the more, like, rough and tumble ones, who still have computers that look like that.
And Kirk is driving Suki mad with his typing. Yeah. And apparently he can type, like, 200 words a minute to be typing out literally every word that she says.
Good for him.
Maybe he should be a stenographer. Right. Add it to his list of jobs.
Yeah.
Well, she's telling the actors, like, stay in character, here's how to talk. Rune is being awful, of course.
Rune is being awful. And I'm glad that Jackson, like, tells him to knock it off. Yeah. Because Jackson is the reason we have the Rune problem.
Yeah. It's because Jackson can't stand up to Rune. I think he's finally gotten over him.
Yeah. I have in my notes, I don't want to waste any time on Rune in the fashion portion, but, like, Rune is just such a sad beige little man. Like, his entire outfit is, like, sad and beige.
I mean, that comment makes it worth it.
And, like, I wrote that in my notes, and I was like, ugh, I don't want to bring up his clothes in the fashion. But
if that's all we say about Rune.
He does not take this job seriously until Lorelai comes in with some bad news.
Yep. And unfortunately, the rich people, I think they mentioned a name, but they're snowed in. They're in Chicago.
Yeah.
They are not coming.
Nope.
And Suki is mad.
She is smashed.
Yeah. I mean, all that work.
Yeah. And Rune's comment is, like, essentially, like, so does that mean I'm not getting paid? Which, you know, we later find out that everything was prepaid, so they haven't lost any money on this. But I'm sure for all of these actors and servers they brought in, they're like, oh my gosh, did I lose out on this big, high-paying job? No. But we'll get to that.
We go over to Luke's, where Suki and the girls are having dinner, I suppose. First, I know we're going to get into fashion later, but, like, Suki's outfit is
atrocious. I looked at that. I looked at that for so long. I don't understand what that garment is. It's,
like, it deserves a spot in the podcast, like, in the discussion, main discussion, because what the hell is that?
It's, I mean, is it a cloak?
It's fuzzy.
Is it a cape?
Well, I mean, it looks like it connects over her neck, like a cowl.
Exactly, it's got a cowl neck, but then it's open.
And then it's argyle?
There's, I feel like that's a shirt argyle beneath.
Yeah, but the whole combination is just awful.
Like, I wish we would have seen her stand up to, like, see the whole outfit. Yeah. That would have maybe helped.
I imagine that it's, like, a weird peekaboo cardigan with the entire chest open and a cowl neck. I did not love it. I can tell you guys this placed very low on my fashion.
Yeah, sorry to bring it up early. Week.
Suki, I mean, I didn't even mention Suki's super fuzzy purple and pink sweater that she wears all the time.
Oh yeah.
Like, she even wears it later.
Yeah.
Like, that's fine. That's Suki. We love Suki. We love a fluff sleeve. This is so a confusing garment.
Can I comment on somebody else in this scene?
Is it going to be Rory?
Luke walking in looking like a snack.
Oh. Yeah.
I
think his flannel shirt is a little tighter than normal. A little more form-fitted, if y'all are looking. I was like, man, if you had that notepad in the jeans, this would have been a perfect look.
Boom. Yeah.
Well, the girls are talking and they're, you know, they're lamenting the fact that they're not going to have the dinner anymore until Suki's like, well, I can make the dinner, the three of us. Well, no, let's invite Luke and Jess. Let's invite the
which
whole
town.
Which
is Suki's idea.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Which I really love that Suki immediately includes Jess.
Yeah. I do too. I was thinking that as well.
Really sweet.
And I do appreciate that Lorelai didn't immediately, like, try to put, like, the kibosh on inviting Jess.
That's true.
Mm-hmm.
I think probably because we haven't seen the relationship really budding between Rory and Jess yet.
I love the look between Luke and Lorelai of, like, Luke being like, I didn't say I was going and I'm not going to be your mouthpiece. And Lorelai just gives him a look. And he just goes, so 8?
Yeah.
Nope, 7.
Honestly, I think 7 is pretty late to start a multi-course dinner like this. But everybody's staying the night, so maybe it makes sense to start later since it is, like she says, like a big sleepover with all of our favorite people.
I mean,
which apparently includes Bootsy.
Yeah, I don't understand.
Or Taylor.
Bootsy included. Like, do we, other than this episode, do we ever see Lorelai and Bootsy have a conversation?
I have a note that we get a lot of Bootsy, a lot more Bootsy in season 2 than I remember.
Yeah.
This, like, Bootsy and Luke thing also continues to get pulled. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Or, well, because Bootsy runs a newsstand, so she bought the wedding magazines off of them. But yeah, it just, you don't really see a whole lot of interaction between them.
You know that the actor for Bootsy actually passed away.
Yeah.
Recently,
About a year ago, I think.
Well, and he was in Miss Maisel, right?
He was, yeah.
Yes.
Oh.
Yeah.
So it's Brian Tarantino, 2019, is when he passed away.
But Bootsy, as annoying as he is, was a lot of fun. Like, he's part of Stars Hollow.
Yes.
He's part of the townies, as I call them.
Yes.
So yeah, we go from that scene to Dean and Lane having a little tiny scene. Guys, I'm going to ask the most controversial question. Do they have chemistry?
No.
I mean, I think they have friendship chemistry.
Yeah.
But I don't know. I don't know if they have chemistry.
They do not have as much chemistry as Lorelai and Dean.
Yeah, that's hard to compete with.
See, I think Rory and Dean have no chemistry at all. So, like...
Yeah.
I think Dean and Lane have more chemistry than Rory and Dean. That's my controversial hot take.
This episode is, like, definitely the beginning of the end, right? And we start to see that both Rory and Alexis can have better chemistry with other people. Because so far we really haven't had that, except for Tristan, which, honestly, they had pretty good chemistry, so.
Yeah.
Yeah. Speaking of Dean and Jess, Jess is just fighting.
Yeah.
Just fighting in the courtyard.
What's his name? Chuck something. Chuck Presby.
Yeah.
He's a jerk.
Yeah. He is
apparently
a jerk.
Worth fighting. Mm-hmm. But when Dean tries to break it up,
just throws a punch at him, too.
Yeah.
It's like, why?
He's a violent little boy.
Adrenaline? Self-defense?
I mean, that's what he said. Momentum.
Does he think Dean is friends with Chuck Presby and is trying to
help
the other guy?
He remembers that Dean is Rory's boyfriend.
Which is such a weird, like... So I love Jess. Y'all know I love Jess. But, like, fighting somebody's boyfriend who you don't even have anything with yet, that's kind of like a weird possessive thing in and of itself, right? Mm-hmm.
I say at this point, Jess is still not a stellar character.
Yeah.
Like,
he has his ups and downs, definitely.
He's supposed to be a bad boy.
Bad boy appeal, and that's kind of all he has. And the fighting just kind of plays into that bad boy appeal.
Yeah.
Well, I think he even gets redeemed in this episode when Rory agrees with him that Chuck Presby
is a jerk.
Worth fighting,
One thing about Jess that I love is either the costume department just had no jackets for him, or he's a true Northeastern who, when it's...
You don't need a coat
You don't need a coat in the winter. If it's over 30 degrees, you're fine.
He does have a cute coat on later in the episode, though.
He does. But I did think that was really funny, because in my opinion, it only gets to hellish under 30 degrees, but if it's, like, 32, you're fine.
So this scene, the one last thing I'll say about it, it's very funny when you put Dean and Jess right next to each other, touching each other, to see that height difference.
Oh, yeah, it's much.
It's like, Jess is, like, in his chest.
It's like, you want to believe that Jess could take Dean in a fight for, like, half a second,
but
then, like, I don't... Dean's got the reach.
Just
he's got the
reach.
Height.
Yeah.
Jess has more aggression, right?
Yeah.
Than Dean. Mm-hmm. But Dean just has that reach, that height. Mm-hmm. It's
and,
overpowering.
And, like, also, I feel like Dean could, like, snap at any second.
Yeah.
And he'd be, like, fighting dirty.
Yeah.
For
yeah.
Rory's sake. You know, it'd be, like, gross, and I don't want to deal with that, but...
No, I feel like Dean would just put his hand on Jess's forehead and hold him back, and Jess just swinging arms and can't get there.
We should do a poll. Who do people think would come out on top in a fight?
Ooh, Dean, yeah, we should. I will say one thing for Dean. After watching him 5 years as Sam in Supernatural, I know that he could beat people up. So, like...
Well, yeah, but that's Sam, not Sam. Dean.
That is true. It gets confusing because there's another Dean involved.
This was before Jared Padalecki's...
bulk
up. Yeah, bulk
that's
up.
True. He's still less skinny.
But also, do you remember how, like, genuinely scary it felt when he told Tristan, like, I'll kill you. Or is that later?
No, that was
Tristan,
right?
Tristan's done.
Tristan's
this
done.
Was like, that was at the dance.
Yeah.
Yeah. Just like, I don't love that vibe for you. No, anyway, we can move on.
Yeah.
But yeah, we move on back to the Gilmore Girls house where this Bootsy-Luke feud continues, like we mentioned before. And Rory's looking through
Christmas
cards.
I find it hilarious, I will say.
Oh, yeah. It is
that
funny.
Lorelai's trying to do that.
It's like
she
an interesting through line, yeah. Mm-hmm.
She knows Rory's going to override her, but it's like, I'm going to have fun with this.
Rory's looking through Christmas cards. And there's jokes about ugly babies. Poor babies. Leave them alone.
This is like a thing in this time period. Because there's a whole episode of Friends, too, because I started watching Friends again recently, where they're making fun of Janice's baby point. About how ugly she is. About how ugly this baby is. Like, why are we making fun of babies?
I was thinking that this baby, I hope that this baby belonged to, like, somebody who worked on the show. Mm-hmm. Because can you imagine if you're baby's photo ended up on this show and was just like, look at this ugly baby.
To be fair, you really only get like a half a second view of it, not enough to really determine whether this child is actually
ugly. Yeah,
we don't
see the uglier baby.
Just looks like a baby.
Yeah, it's just a baby.
Well, she finds the Chris and Sherry card that Lorelai hides, right?
Hid?
Yeah.
Stashed?
Did not tell her about.
Mm.
They look nice.
Yeah.
And this is the scene where Rory comes up with the idea to invite her grandparents.
Well, Lorelai mentions, hey, why is this room empty? My first thought is, why is Rory in charge of the room assignment that she would know why a room is empty?
Rory is more mature.
But hey, let's invite the Gilmores.
Because they could use a night out. Mm-hmm. And, I mean, as we will see, it's a lot of fun. I love
it
this.
Is.
I love this episode for, like, just, like, Richard and Emily, like, just hanging out. Mm-hmm. It's really fun.
I love Stars Hollow, Richard and Emily.
I do, too. Mm-hmm. Like, and, they're like,
fun.
Vibing with the townies, like, it's fun.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. They show that they can be fun, nice people.
One last thing about that scene in the Gilmore Girls house. Lorelai tells Rory, your New Year's resolution to become more cynical and self-absorbed, right? It's just because, you know, the grandparents are getting
a good thing.
There are moments in this show where I'm like, did Amy know where Rory's character was going to go?
Yeah.
You know? Like, is this foreshadowing? Is this a hint? Or is this just, like, a joke? You know what I mean?
Yeah. One thing to note before we move on. Lorelai doesn't bring up the fact that Christopher called and wants Rory to come stay with
him.
She
did not.
Nope.
She could have.
This would have been a great moment.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. No. Oh, hey, by the way, Chris called.
Yep.
Nope. Now that you mentioned the Christmas card I hid from you.
Well, guys, we move on to the dinner. It's the night of the dinner. And
the big event.
Babette and Maury are the first people there. I'm sure that killed Maury. Like, they even
Maury
say it in
so
show.
Upset. But,
like,
and they're so cool. They're just like two hip cats in their leather outfits.
I love them so much.
And they're not fashionably late, and it kills Maury.
But they can be late to dinner.
Yeah. Lane and Mrs. Kim arrive. Obviously, Mrs. Kim is not going to let Lane come alone. I don't know why Lane thought she would come alone. Ever.
But she's very gracious. Mm-hmm. She seems genuinely like delighted that Lorelai has invited her until Lorelai makes a terrible mistake of asking if they need help with the rest of their luggage.
And Mrs. Kim pulls up a purse that is tiny, smaller than my, like, everyday carry, like, my normal purse. That, and it, I don't have a huge purse. It's, like, maybe 10 by 10 inches. And Mrs. Kim pulls up this little, like,
it's almost
out. A
safety kit, yeah. medical kit size bag. And she's like, this is all I need. My stuff.
Well, Lane too is, much stuff. Like, with a duffel bag.
Yeah.
So, at least yeah. Lane has her stuff.
I'm convinced Mrs. Kim just, like, shoved stuff into Lane's bag.
Or, like, maybe she has, like, one little nightgown that she folded up very, very tightly mm-hmm. and, like, a toothbrush, and that's everything she needs.
But does that mean she re-wears the same clothes?
Maybe takes, like, a shirt with her and wears the same pants.
Yeah.
Which is something I would do.
Maybe she's a master folder.
Maybe.
But, you know what? This is a little bit of fashion, but Lane's hat is super cute. And super childlike. It's so cute. I'm kind of surprised Mrs. Kim is okay with it.
Yeah, that was one of my notes. Because we see her wearing it as she comes out of school. Mm-hmm. And it's got two little pom-poms on top of it that look almost like little bear ears. Mm-hmm. And I was wondering, I was like, oh, I'm going to have to watch really hard to see if she wears it when she's with Mrs. Kim. Because we know that Lane will change her outfit if she knows she's going to see her mom. But nope, apparently this is an approved hat. And it's super cute, and she's got, like, a little matching scarf. Mm-hmm. It looks great.
But, like, what would Mrs. Kim not like about the hat? Just, like, too playful?
I mean...
Yeah.
Yeah. It's silly. It's frivolous. It's, you know, I mean, look at what Lane usually wears. Button-up. She gets to wear... It's cold, so she gets to wear a blue turtleneck this episode.
Yes.
Well, the next person that comes in is Paris. She comes in
with an agenda
with so many papers. Mm-hmm.
I have to say, though, Paris comes in and she's like, here's all these things. And she makes a comment, I think, about Madeline and Louise just mm-hmm. staying true to who they are, essentially. But, like, she takes Rory's opinion. Like, she says something that makes it sound like she values Rory's opinion.
Well, she has this, like, endearing smile of, like, when Rory's trying to, like, connect the fabric of corduroy jeans to the fabric of society. And Paris is like, you're not going to be able to do it. Like, it's so cute.
It is.
I want their friendship. I want to fast forward to them being friends.
Yeah. Well, every time I think there's a turning point, it's like, we got some more nonsense to get through first.
Yep.
But it's such a 180, because last week's Paris was... the Romeo and Juliet play.
Well, Tristan is gone.
Yeah.
There's no more tension.
But magic.
It's fun, like you said, to see the Rory and Paris relationship. I think from here until we get to the presidential fight, we have smooth sailing for those two.
And Rory, who is, again, so kind, ends up inviting Paris to the dinner. Mm-hmm. She asks, are you doing anything? And of course, Paris takes it as an insult. Mm-hmm. She's like, no, really.
I just wanted to see if you wanted to join us.
I will say, Paris's actual parent her Portuguese nanny is, like, one of my favorite things. Well, it's sad that she doesn't have an actual, like, mom that cares about her like that. But mm-hmm. she continues with this Portuguese nanny throughout the series, and I love
yes.
her. I was going to ask, because I don't know Portuguese at all. And I don't know if you know, but, like, how do you think Paris's conversation with her nanny sounded?
Well, it was not Spanish, which is nice, because usually they just put Spanish and say it's Portuguese. My best friend is Portuguese, so it sounded right.
Okay.
It didn't sound wrong. I was just glad it wasn't Spanish, to be honest.
Yeah.
And I think eventually nanny just becomes nanny.
Mm-hmm.
She doesn't always get referred to as Portuguese nanny.
That's true. Next to arrive, we have Dean and little sister Clara. And they arrive at the same time as Jess and Luke. Which is...
But, like, I don't like Clara. I think I maybe defended Clara before.
No, I don't like Clara either.
Where are Dean and Clara's parents? Like, are you seriously sending, like, a 17-year-old boy with his 13-year-old sister to an inn to stay by themselves?
His 13-year-old sister that acts like she's 5 and a half.
Right?
Yeah. I mean, I'm trying to think about... I mean, like, I could see it's in your town. It's with people you know.
It's his girlfriend.
It's with Dean's boss.
But oh, yeah, he's there. What 17-year-old boy wants to go to some kind of town event with just his sister?
I mean, the ones that forced to. Like, his parents are probably weird. Like, take her.
Yeah.
It is kind of strange, but I mean, also Dean seems to be, for all of his failings, he seems to be a pretty good big brother.
He does, yes. Yes, he does.
So they,
I will defend that for him.
They arrive at the same time as Jess and Luke, and like immediately Dean is like, oh god, it's Jess, right?
That guy's a jerk.
Yeah. And Rory's like, why, what's wrong? And he describes a fight, and they look over at Jess, and Jess gives a sarcastic wave that kills me every time. Every time.
It's a taunting wave.
It's amazing.
It's a special wave just for Dean.
With Rory watching.
Yeah. It's great. And when Dean says something, I think Rory's line is that a problem? And, like, it's automatically putting, like, the weight stress of the decision of him being there on her.
Yeah.
I'm like, no, he's allowed to be here. These two boys can exist in the same space, and it's not your problem, girl.
Like, Luke would be invited before Dean, and actually he was. Like,
he was.
Yeah. I didn't get the stress that Rory, like, I get it because of the stress that Dean puts on Rory, but it just seemed mm-hmm. so unnecessary.
Yeah.
Just another way of trying to cater to Dean's moods.
Well, he does tell her that, you know, Jess took a swing at me, which colors the way that Rory then looks at Jess, at least through their interactions up through, like, the carriage ride.
Mm-hmm.
Well, before we get there, we get naked Rune.
No, we don't need that.
Thankfully, not naked, but even his underwear are satin beige. Come on, Rune.
And Suki's freaking out, poor girl. She forgets salt.
Can't remember salt.
Like, she's having a day.
I will say, for how well planned out this whole event is, how is there not, like, assigned changing rooms?
Yeah.
Like, even if you have to hold two rooms back, like, one for girls to change in and one for guys to change in or something of the guest rooms.
Well, didn't Rune say something like he just felt
the supply closet.
That he was being, like, but, there were too many people or something like that?
Doesn't Rune live on the property?
He does.
Doesn't he live in the potting shed? Why not change in your own?
Not in the kitchen
accommodations.
Yeah, that's weird.
Not in the kitchen.
Because Rune is not that smart.
No,
sad baby.
Maybe maybe the shoes. He didn't want to walk through the snow with whatever shoes he would have had to wear. I don't know.
I guess.
Well, we go. The next people to arrive are the grandparents, and Richard is in a much better mood.
Good mood.
Oh yeah,
he is happy. So happy.
And Emily has no idea why, but she's happy.
But she's taking credit.
She's into it. So then we get, you know, one of those scenes, one of those tiny scenes where Lorelai goes to meet Bootsy, the next person to arrive, and Jess is in the foreground looking at a painting of flowers. And
a freshly dusted painting of flowers.
Same one.
Waiting for Rory. Yeah. Clearly.
Mm-hmm.
And Rory has, like, a sixth sense because she immediately turns to look at him. And they share one of two quick looks of this episode.
Yeah. And Rory's, like, reaction is she's still upset because he's apparently tried to punch her boyfriend.
Mm-hmm.
And Jess is just, he's just looking because he's interested.
we then move on to this great shot of all the townies and the grandparents, like, interacting. It's great.
Socializing, having a good time. Mm-hmm. I assume some people have some drinks.
Yeah.
I don't remember.
People have, like, I think champagne in their hands or something.
Like, it's just a fun little event. Like, clearly people are having fun at this.
And Lorelai surprises everyone with horse-drawn carriages.
Sleigh ride.
Yeah, sleigh rides.
Super fun.
Mm-hmm.
Which, thank goodness they had snow. Because I don't know if those sleigh rides would have worked without the snow.
I don't think so. I think it would shred the bottom of your sleigh to, like, go on concrete or gravel. But I don't know. I'm not a sleigh person.
Maybe there's wheel attachments.
But yes, and it's two to a sleigh.
My favorite little thing is Jess and Luke sitting next to each other and just being,
they're
like,
bonding.
Cynical and
they
amazing.
Do that a couple of times this episode. They do this when the sleighs are announced, and they do this during the dinner.
Yeah.
I love these moments for them mm-hmm. because I love seeing their relationship blossom and like grow over the course of the series. But
like, I love you this see it for them. Like, obviously, Jess fixed the toaster earlier. But it's really nice to see their relationship kind of growing. They're a lot more alike than what I think either of them would like to admit.
Oh yeah, I agree with that. So yeah, it's Tuto and Slay, and of course Clara wants Dean.
Of course.
And Jess smiles. Do you guys see that? It's like a tiny little.
He's plotting.
Yep. Yep. It's like it's wicked. Like that's that little mm-hmm. smile. But yeah, so again, Luke and Bootsy have a thing. I don't know. At this point, they should get together. I don't know. Like I don't understand this little back and forth between them, but you know. Look at him.
We're just shown over and over again that they have like this antagonistic friendship, but it never goes anywhere.
It's never even really a friendship either. Like I feel like they only antagonize each other. There's no like actual friendship moment between the two of them.
Yeah.
Well, Lorelai is in her sleigh and she looks beautiful.
That blanket looks so soft.
They all look so cozy.
They do.
And she invites Luke to ride with her. And, you know, he's Mr. Grump.
And he's, like, gruff about it. Yeah.
I guess, if you insist.
But he gets in, and he gets under the blanket mm-hmm. and everything.
They have a nice little sleigh ride. They have nice little moments together, I feel like.
They talk about Jess.
Mm-hmm. Oh, and Luke mentions that he has figured out the secret of parenting.
And Lorelai's like, man, I am excited to hear this.
You guys ready for this? You visualize the reality, and then you lie to get it. Oof.
The silence says it all.
That's it. Luke. But, I mean, so hearing it, you're like, Luke, what is wrong with you? But then, when you hear why he has come up with this and what he has done, it's, like, kind of heartbreaking.
It is
heartbreaking.
He wants to protect Jess.
But he makes it sound like, oh, I figured out the entire success of parenting is to figure out what you want and lie about it. It's like, no, that's good in this one situation.
Yeah, well, it wasn't even in this situation because, like Lorelai points out, the whole reason what Luke is lying about is the fact that Liz does not want Jess to come home. Right?
Yeah.
So he lies and tells Jess that, no, you know, like, it's better for you to stay here. You're getting more accustomed to Stars Hollow, mm-hmm. all this stuff, to get more acclimated. And Lorelai just straight up points out, Jess knows.
Yeah.
Like, even if what Luke was saying was true, Jess would have still had a conversation with Liz, I would assume. Of, hey, what are you doing over Christmas break? If Liz had been a good parent, there still would have been a conversation between the two. And instead, she's just completely absent.
I had forgotten how rough of a character Liz is portrayed.
Exactly what I was about to say,
mm-hmm. Up until, like, I'm really excited now to re-meet her with all of this in mind, because I didn't remember her being this bad. But, like, we're really being shown that she is not a good mom.
But, like, she's not just flighty, but, like,
negligent.
There you go. Like, she does not care. Right? And this doesn't hold up to the Liz later. That's just quirky and weird.
Mm-hmm. But at this point, she is just, like, she doesn't want her child to come back. Yeah. She shipped him off. She doesn't need him back.
So, yeah. So, in the future, Jess leaves. And then we have, like, what? A full season or two? Essentially without Jess, or maybe these random appearances, and then Liz shows up. So it's like, we're going to give you guys plenty of time to forget how bad we made this character sound. And then we're just going to show up and have her
be this weird earring. Hippie. She does Ren fairs. Yeah.
Luke looks crushed when Lorelai points it out. And like,
he really thought he had done it.
But meanwhile, at the same time, Emily and Richard are flirting. They're making plans roller coasters.
They're making, yes, I love it.
I love when she's like, this is messing up my hair. And he's like, oh, not as much as this. And then he, like, ruffles her hair. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, oh my gosh, so I love you.
Like, this had to have been, like, Richard and Emily 30 years ago when they had first met and got, I mm-hmm. guess, 35, however long. But, like, this has to be, like, brand new Richard and Emily. Yeah. It's amazing.
When he was,
it's
like,
so sweet.
A young, playful Yale man. Yeah.
Yep. I love it.
And the last couple we see starts out as a solo. Rory's all by mm-hmm. herself. Mm-hmm. And the carriage, or the sleigh, starts moving, and Jess jumps on.
Just leaps. Leaps on. Leaps from, like, a weird side, too, because yeah. that side is, like, the tree-lined side, so I don't know if he was, like, hiding in the woods.
Yeah, no, I totally just imagine Jess, like, crouched down, hiding in the bushes on the side of the road, just waiting for her sleigh to take off so we can dive into it.
Also, it's so interesting to me that Rory is the last one. Like, yeah. Wouldn't it have made sense for Lorelai to have been the last one so that she could make
Lorelai
sure
was first.
All of the guests have the experience?
But yeah, Lorelai made yeah. the announcement that she's yep. not missing out on, yep. on a horse-drawn sleigh. Period.
So Rory's holding up the rear, and she does get a surprise partner.
Mm-hmm.
And she's immediately, like, not into,
like,
it.
Yeah.
Mm-mm.
Cold.
Cold shoulder.
Yeah. Rory gives him a very cold response, and Jess mm-hmm. is like, are you mad at me? And it reminded me of the scene outside of Dozie's.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Like, are it's you mad the at same me? Thing.
Right? Yeah. She has these really cold, negative reactions to him. And I mean, it's always because Dean, of Dean.
Yeah.
Yeah. yeah.
But he starts explaining, and he says Chuck Bresby is a jerk, and she's like, oh, he is a jerk. Which I guess the small time, like, the freshman year that she spent at Stars Hollow, she remembers this kid.
I mean, it's
well,
a
she
tiny
probably
town.
Grew up
probably,
with
yeah.
him.
Yeah. They probably grew up together.
But she also says, well, if you don't like it here,
then go home.
Just go home.
Yeah.
Heartbreaking. It's really interesting we see both sides of this story mm-hmm. play out.
Yeah.
Basically at the same time, too. And Jess mm-hmm. is just straight up like, my mom doesn't want me to go. Which is heartbreaking.
Yeah. And Rory doesn't believe it at first because, like, she can't imagine a reality where her mom doesn't want her to be with her.
Yeah.
I mean, because that's fair, though, because for all of Lorelai's faults, she loves her daughter, and there is no question about that.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And I can totally see Rory. I mean, Rory's pretty sheltered. She hasn't seen a broken home or anything like that. This is her first experience with somebody who comes from a maybe not so great family.
Well, you can
argue. Let's rephrase that. Lorelai's a broken home, but.
Well, you can argue Rory, because Christopher sucks. Like. She doesn't really have a dad.
So, but she never, like, lacked love.
That is
yeah.
true.
She was never unwanted.
True.
She always had somebody who was there and loved her, took
and
care of her.
I'm going to rephrase that because I grew up with a single mom and I never thought I was in a broken home. You know, like, you can have a single parent and it's not a broken home. You can have two parents and it can be a broken home. So, like.
Absolutely. Yeah. And it's really interesting in this scene because you see this shift in Rory happen when Jess tells her that Luke lied. And, you know, Luke said it was his idea. Luke said, I should stay. And it was his idea. And you can see, like, Rory's appreciation for Luke immediately mm-hmm. colors her reaction to Jess. And I love that.
Well, they also go by the snowmen and women. And mm-hmm. Jess very correctly points out which one is theirs.
Looks like Bjork.
Yeah.
So
which
clearly
I thought
they
was
went
really
back
cute.
Out and fixed it.
Mm-hmm. Yes. But it also shows.
He probably watched them build it.
Yeah.
Oh, I didn't think about it that way. I thought of
like
it.
Like through the windows.
I thought of it more of he knows who Bjork is. Hey, does mm-hmm. Dean know who Bjork is? Does Dean
first
know anything?
Dean, I feel like would. Yes. I feel like first season Dean would know who Bjork is, but they've already started, like, the dumbing down.
Yeah. He's and Rory can't even say anything. Like, he's like, what do you guys talk about? And she has nothing. She cannot give a single example.
Well, I mean, and again, I'm not defending the Rory Dean relationship. I do not think it is a good one. But if somebody was to put me on the spot and ask me what me and my partner of 10 years talk about, I might not immediately be able to come up with something, but sure. I'd be able to come up with more than what Rory says, which is we talk about everything, which, yeah. again, high school boyfriend, like, what do you really talk about, you know?
Well, I'm trying
all
to even
Rory
think.
All Rory has to say is, like, he's good at making out. And that's about all. He's pretty.
But I'm trying to think of Rory and Dean's scenes. What do they talk about? They kiss a lot.
Sometimes.
They watch movies.
Right, movies.
They exchange books at the beginning. We haven't seen that.
We haven't seen that
recently.
Yeah.
Well, last time we saw a book, Dean was too dumb to understand it.
Yeah.
But she was like, no,
the common man
can
read it. Yeah.
Yeah.
Is that Anna Karenina?
I think.
It might have been Dostoyevsky.
Maybe.
I was thinking it was Tolstoy.
It was a Russian.
Tolstoy?
Yeah.
Yeah. Either way, we're starting to get this comparison of, like, it's almost like Jess isn't like other guys. You know, like,
ooh,
not like other girls. Like, Jess isn't like other guys.
He's the manic,
like,
pixie
boy.
He
knows Bjork. He annotates her books. Like,
he's the bad boy with his heart of gold. Except, maybe not.
Kinda, really, yeah. Is. Especially that heart grows later.
Yeah,
he matures. He matures well.
Right now, it's a small heart.
Now, he's just
then
a bad
bigger.
Boy. Right,
it's
now
a Grinch situation.
I was going to say, he's the beginning of the Grinch.
Well, we go on to the actual dinner. And first off, I feel so bad for Paris. In between Miss Patty and Taylor.
But she looks like she's having fun.
Oh, I thought she looked horrible. I thought she looked like she was so uncomfortable.
Well, also, the last time she and Patty were together, she was pretty rude to Patty.
I personally
would have put
them
together.
And that wasn't very long ago either.
And, like, the first time with Miss Patty was a sex joke. Lorelai was making a sex joke about the waiter. And, like, right next to Paris, who's, like, a kid. I thought it was really weird. Mm-hmm. But, you know.
I could see maybe Taylor and Paris getting along, like, talking about, like, politics or something, you know. Well, she's also, like, just not very well socialized. Like, that's kind of a Paris trait, is that she's just not, she doesn't get along with people very well.
Like, Lorelai even gives her, like, a pat on the shoulder when she goes.
I think she just feels really grateful to have been included.
Yeah. She's across from Bootsy and Clara. This seating arrangement is weird. I'm just throwing that out there.
I do not understand why... Just she wasn't placed next to Rory.
Right? Well,
I don't either.
Whatever.
Who's on the other side of Rory now that I think about it?
Dean.
Oh, Dean.
That's
her boyfriend. Yeah, that boy.
But, I mean, still, there's so many people there that could have been placed next to Lorelai. Like, Rory doesn't, I mean, I guess since Rory kind of helped plan the whole event, apparently.
Yeah, well.
Yeah. I just thought, okay, so just because we're talking about the group, obviously Emily and Richard are here.
Mm-hmm.
I wish that we had had more Emily and Mrs. Kim interaction
during
this. That would have been a great opportunity. But we had other things for Emily to do. We needed to keep going.
One thing I will mention is that when this starts, both Jess and Michelle do the same shake of head, except Jess is in amusement and Michelle is, like, in shame. It's so funny.
Yes, because as we did say, Rune is for some reason like the featured actor up there alongside Jackson.
He's the announcer.
Yeah.
He's like the crier. Yeah.
Yes, crier.
Why would you do that? Why not Kirk?
Well, Jackson comes out
looking
great.
Or anybody else.
Oh, yeah. Jackson looks amazing. He's got...
I love the wig.
A page boy haircut or the little lad haircut if you were on TikTok for the last 12 months. It's such a look. It does not appear in my fashion recap, but I love all of the costumes. Anachronistic though they may be, Paris, they all look great. It's super fun.
My favorite lines between Jess and Luke, we should have eaten before we came. Shush. But, yeah. Like, it's so good.
But also, Jess is asking, like, what's this? Shouldn't Luke have known what these items
are? Luke is a good cook. They dumb him down, too, and it pisses me off.
Already.
Yeah.
It's like,
yeah.
What's the green thing? It's like, butter off removed. I'm like, no, it's probably, like,
parsley or
kale
or
spinach or...
Also, just, like, it's a squash soup, and they usually have cream in them, which is why I don't eat them, because I don't do dairy. Mm-hmm. Like, that's not a big thing. You just mix it in.
After the dinner... Oh, well, scratch that. Real quick, let's talk about Kirk.
Doing great. His fake beard is hanging on for its dear life.
He's staying in character.
He's doing everything he can, and the Gilmore girls are just teasing him so much.
No, Lorelai is teasing
him.
And Rory is telling Lorelai to act her age, essentially.
And they know he cannot resist giving his opinions on I Love Lucy?
Apparently.
Yeah.
So after dinner, we find out, first off, that Claire is a horse girl.
Who wants to go outside and eat dessert with the horses?
That was my thought, too. Like, also, it's so probably cold outside. Late.
Right?
So the horses are probably already, like, bedded down for the night, and maybe they've even turned off the lights. Like... And they probably don't want unmonitored children.
As far as we know, the only child in this entire thing.
Yeah, really, the only kid. We also find out that Bootsy had 7 beers.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
And you know who else is a little drunk? I'm assuming.
Richard?
Mm-hmm. Maybe a little bit.
That's a little something slip.
Yep, he's telling the story of out-humming people in Prague, playing Cher.
This is like... one of my favorite Richard moments. I love this story so much. I love it because we get our first Michelle and Cher moment. Yes. Because he says,
I love that song.
Yeah. And I love this moment because I own a CD that is just like 9 versions of Believe in Life After Love.
That's amazing.
But it's different remixes. It's the original and then it's all dance remixes.
That is amazing.
It's a great disc.
Didn't he describe Cher as that woman with the bones or something that like
that?
That
terrible bony woman or something. And yeah. Like, okay, Cher was an icon.
Is an icon.
Right? Excuse me? Oh yeah, absolutely, to this day.
And Taylor, I don't know, I think Taylor and Richard would get along really well for some reason.
Yeah, this conversation is like natural and this is the most I've liked Taylor,
right?
Yeah, is this scene. Yeah.
Taylor never thought he would have so much fun with an insurance man.
Well, it's a good thing I'm not an insurance man anymore. It's basically what Richard says.
And I feel like he doesn't even notice what he says right away.
Like, he says it and then he's just like vibing.
Oh, wait.
And
Emily is like, Richard, tell them.
Correct them. And he can't. He is retired and he's told no one.
That's a big thing to not tell anybody about, especially somebody who's technically your spouse and like dependent on you for money.
Like, if I found out my husband did something like that, like, I would be furious.
It's hard.
And it wouldn't even be the fact that it happened or that he did it. It's that he hid it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because there's a timeline kind of discrepancy, because first it's 2 days and later on it's just 1 day. Mm-hmm. When they first come in, he's been happy for 2 days. And then later on when he talks about it, it's yesterday. So, whether it was one
maybe
or two
Emily
days,
counts that as their second day.
Yeah. Whether it was 1 or 2 days, Richard is happier.
And there has to be something said for being mentally and emotionally happy with your life.
Yeah.
And happy with what you're doing. And I think Emily would have been much more understanding if he would have told her as soon as he came home.
Oh, yeah.
And basically told her exactly what he tells her later this evening about it, but don't hide things like this from your spouse.
No. Well, we are finally at the end of the night. People are going to sleep. We have the Gilmore Girls. The ugly baby comes back. Lorelai does a little prank.
Lorelai has a massive freak out.
Yeah, because the ugly baby reminds Rory of Chris. There's a connection. And Lorelai has to come clean. Like, Rory's like, hey, Dad hasn't called.
I don't understand, like, because if I remember correctly, the conversation between Lorelai and Chris, Lorelai's like, if that's what you want, go ahead. Like, didn't she give permission?
So, she said that it's up to Rory. And so, Chris essentially left it to Lorelai to communicate to Rory. He's like, I don't want to step on any toes.
I get that. But at the same time, I feel like the invitation should have come from Chris.
Yeah.
Like, you essentially had the okay from Lorelai, call your daughter, invite her over.
Well, regardless...
Lorelai doesn't...
Lorelai gets very jealous. And Rory says later on that the jealousy is about Sherry. I think the jealousy is about Rory.
Rory?
Yeah.
Yeah.
100%.
But Lorelai is super nasty to Rory. She says, are you deaf? At one point. Like, that's mean.
Yeah, rude.
I feel like that was a common insult of the time.
Oh, I didn't
mean it. I'm not saying it's not rude.
I didn't mean it in an ableist way. I just meant it in a, like,
Oh, no. Like, I get it.
Bad take to take with your daughter for something you did wrong.
Yeah, Lorelai's in the wrong here, and she doesn't like being in the wrong. She does not like being caught when she's in the wrong. Mm-hmm. And, I mean, Rory makes good points, and Lorelai doesn't like that.
Yeah.
But Rory takes it, like, weirdly okay-ish.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, she kind of just jokes about the whole thing.
Yeah.
Like, she doesn't really take it seriously. Mm-hmm. Like, Chris's invitation seriously, I feel like. And then it ends with Lorelai being like, so are you gonna go? Oh, I haven't decided. And then we never hear about it again.
Yeah. But Rory does say something interesting. She says, we are rooting for Dad. Right?
Yes.
And, like...
Until the end of this season?
Yeah, basically. It's like, long live you loving your dad. Because things are gonna turn. Yeah.
I will say, Lorelai made the comment of, like, this is my time with you. I'm like, Lorelai, every day is your time with Rory. Like, you're gonna decide randomly this one time of year is when you absolutely will not give up your daughter?
Okay, I'm gonna argue against you.
Yeah.
Because the way I took it is, Lorelai's there for the bad days, right? She's there for the 6 a.m.s, wake up, the driving home, the whatever, Rory's sick. But she doesn't get her for the holidays, the easy or the fun times. Like,
that just, I'm not disagreeing with you. I just feel like the timeline of how long she would stay with Chris was so vague.
Yeah.
That, like, one random day or two in the middle, like, not on Christmas, not on New Year's, like, not on the actual holiday, would have been fine.
I agree with that. But if it was, like, the whole 2 weeks, I can understand where Laura
whole 2 weeks, I'd be like, no.
Yeah.
And especially since Rory had never been there before, like, I would be so uncomfortable.
Super awkward. Yeah.
Going to live with my dad and his girlfriend for 2 weeks.
Yeah.
The girls are joined by a surprise visitor after they've kind of settled this conversation. Emily is here.
She is mad.
It's a great shot of Emily in the mirror. Like, you don't even see Emily. You just see her in the mirror. I think that was just a really good shot. And Emily is really pissed. And she has every right to be.
But apparently they haven't spoken a word.
No.
Like, that's how you get past these fights, by discussing them.
Right, you have to talk it out, which luckily they do, but we haven't gotten there quite yet.
Well, she's gonna stay the night with the girls, and one of the best scenes, I'm gonna say, of the series.
Yes, which for some reason I think that I maybe attributed to Mia's wedding previously, like, because I thought that was when they were all in a hotel room together, but it happens in season two. I love this scene.
Where Lorelai and Emily both start doing their nighttime routine. And it's the exact same routine.
Exact same thing.
Yeah.
Yep.
And I can only imagine that Lorelai is doing the exact same routine because when she was little, she watched Emily do the exact same routine. Like, it's just so cute.
Behold my future.
And Lorelai's face of oh my god. Well, Emily is criticizing everything. Like, I feel like all night she was kind of criticizing, even, like, the happy moments.
I feel like that's just Emily. But this was, I mean, for the overall night until that happened, I think even with the criticism, we still had happy Emily because of happy Richard.
There was one point where I think Lorelai checked on her parents during the dinner, and Richard was like, it's great. And Emily was like, your dress needs pressing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Thanks, okay, Mom. Emily.
Well, Emily is, you know, upset about this, talking to Lorelai, and Lorelai ends that conversation with, that job was killing him. Right?
Yeah.
Yes.
And that's true. It's very true.
And Emily, like, gets all the way into bed, and immediately she's up. Yep. She can't. She needs she's to go going for a, on walk. A walk.
And she goes to the lobby, where she runs into Richard, who is also in the lobby.
Who's going over their finances?
Yeah.
As an, like, insurance man would.
Yeah.
Did he bring this stuff with him?
Yeah.
He probably had it.
Like, does he just have it memorized and he just started writing the numbers that he remembered on his notebook and then doing math?
I mean, he's an insurance guy, so I'm sure he's good with numbers.
Any of those scenarios would make sense, I feel like.
But Emily cuts him off and is just like, let's just go to bed. Right? Mm-hmm. With the implication of, we're going to be okay. And honestly, like, okay, this is very privileged. Right? Because they're still getting a pension. They're still going to get the retirement funds.
Yeah.
they're still going to be having a lot of money. They're just not going to be having as much money.
Well, Richard does a pretty good job of essentially telling her, like, this is why I did it. I was just so unhappy, and we're still going to be okay. And now that she has a chance to see, this wasn't, like, a completely rash decision. She loves him.
I think to Richard's point, too, of, like, Emily liking plans and liking what's going to happen, to find out that all of a sudden your husband is not employed, is retired, I would guess that she doesn't know anything about the pension or the retirement funds, or at least not know for how long of a time period those things are good for. Like, they have a very lavish lifestyle. Mm-hmm. If you have not prepared for it appropriately, you could lose that lifestyle probably within a year or two.
Yeah.
If that.
But they're good. They are back on good terms. They head to their room together. And the next scene is people are on their way out.
Yeah.
One thing during the scene with Richard and Emily I wanted to mention, when Richard is kind of explaining how he felt and why he did what he did, Kelly Bishop, oh my, her facial expressions, like, you could just tell she was trying so hard not to cry.
Yeah.
Like, that she couldn't talk, because if she did, she, like, that was just what I was getting from her face. And this is one of the reasons why I know Emily gets a lot of hate, and her actions obviously are mostly justified, or the hate is justified. But this is how Kelly Bishop makes Emily so sympathetic.
Complex.
Like, why you still want to...
Kelly and Ed... I mean, anytime you have Kelly and Ed alone in a scene together, it's like a masterclass in acting.
It really
and
is.
I just love watching them play off each other.
Yeah, just watching her reactions to Richard, and then, like, you... Before she even says anything, you can see in her face, she's just, like, resolute. She's like, okay, we're gonna... Like, you see her make that decision and move on.
She remembers that guy from the carriage ride. She remembers getting ready to do roller coasters together. Yeah.
And the next morning, they're leaving. Lorelai does an inappropriate joke and then makes it worse.
Yeah, like, if gotta make a sex joke about your parents.
Right? I didn't get... Like, I watch with subtitles, right? But if you don't watch with subtitles, she gets cut off. But in the subtitles, it straight up says, "Did you get laid?"
Yep.
Yep. Oof. Yeah. To your parents? To Richard and Emily?
Nope. Nope.
But it doesn't even, like, really ruffle Emily. No. She's just like, could you be any more crude?
And then I could.
They're on their way. And Rory goes to say goodbye to Dean. And Clara's like, don't kiss. And I'm like,
how old are you, Clara?
I guess I'm on your side for this one, Clara.
They do end up kissing. And it's a small little peck. It's like, later on, we're going to get a scene with Rory and Jess where people are like, there was no passion. There was no passion.
Yeah.
But this is when the second look happens. And this is the important look. Yeah.
And there is a look.
Rory.
There is a look between Rory and Jess.
Rory looks at Jess. Jess looks at Rory. And Dean looks at both of them.
And I mean, the entire rest of that scene, Jared is just like, tennis eyes going back and forth between the two of them.
He's making connections because this is the start of the crush.
I mean, if Jess Mariano looked at me like that,
I don't blame her.
I mean, as much as Jess has the bad boy persona, like, when him and Rory sit down and talk and have one-on-one conversations, like, he's kind of dead on in what he says. And what he sees.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And the Gilmore Girls go home via horse-drawn carriage. And they realize there's been a snowman massacre.
But only one snowman, right? Or is it all of them?
No, just that one.
Only
just
one.
Just the one. And Rory does not seem surprised. And even furthermore...
And if not, maybe a little happy?
Yeah. She, like, turns her whole body to look at it the entire, like, ride home. Well, the rest of the, like, 2 seconds. This episode makes me think of, like, wintertime and just that start of the relationship, the, like, early butterflies. And I realize someone's kind of getting emotionally cheated on here, and I do not condone that. However, it's Dean. And I do not like
Dean. And we still have a little ways to go.
Yeah.
I feel like it's a little too
early.
Yeah. to officially call it emotional cheating. It's the beginning. The seeds have been planted.
Okay, so here begs the question, who was townsperson of the week?
We saw so many townspeople this week.
Well, Emily, who do you have?
Of the side characters, I, for half a second, I was like, Paris would be a good townsperson of the week. Because she comes in, and, like, obviously she has things on her mind, the double issue and stuff, but, like, she's nice to Paris. She's nice to Rory. She goes out of her way to, you know, involve herself in this. Well, I mean, she lets Rory pull her in, but she she does something out of her comfort zone, and she's nice about it. And she's nice to Rory when she doesn't necessarily have to be. It was a nice view of Paris. Mm-hmm. For one of the main characters, I think I would maybe go with Lorelai. I feel like she had a great episode, just fun, taking
but
care.
But not great with the Chris stuff.
Yeah, it's true.
And the ugly babies. I'm actually going to go with Suki. Because she put this entire dinner together. She forgot salt. She had such a nervous breakdown, and yet she did it. Like, she completed it.
I was going to say Jackson.
Okay.
Jackson really stepped it up this episode. Like, when he went from supplying the mushrooms to being the main fully costumed character in this show, that was pretty powerful for me.
Without being asked, he was told.
Oh, yeah. He was voluntold. Yeah.
And then ignored until he agreed to it.
And he did a great job.
He did.
His Squire Bracebridge was very fun, and apparently he even later provided some music for the group.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, we didn't mention that.
The belly drumming to go along with Bootsy's head spoon beating.
To Hotel California, yep.
I'm going to second Jackson. Okay. I love Suki. I feel like she was great in this episode, but I'm going to agree with Jackson.
All right, then Jackson. I think he won it before.
Maybe once? Yeah. Or maybe he, as a couple? Did we give it to them as a couple before?
It might have been. But either way, congratulations, Jackson.
Congrats, Jackson.
You're Townsperson of the Week.
And after Townsperson of the Week, we have References with Sandra.
Weekly References with Sandra.
So, for this week's references, I thought I would focus on the Bracebridge dinner. So, did you guys know this is a real thing?
I did not.
Okay.
No. I was kind of curious.
Assumed made up.
No, so this is not a Gilmore Girls invention. So, it's actually a Yosemite National Park tradition that started in 1927 in Yosemite Valley. Just like in the show, it's a spectacular Christmas pageant that takes place in this dining room that they make, like, this grand dining room, which is transformed into a majestic scene straight out of Washington Irving's Squire Bracebridge. And Squire Bracebridge is a story based around the fictional Squire Bracebridge, an English baron who treated his family, nobility, and even the villagers in the town to a lavish feast at each Christmas in his huge manor, Bracebridge Hall. And Suki actually does mention Washington Irving at one point, right? Mm-hmm. That she wants it to be more like Washington Irving, unless there was
Irving, your accountant.
That's it. So the show does give Irving his props. And this ceremony, much like the show, there's a squire, there's an entourage, jesters, singers, everything. Everyone speaks in Old English. Although, unlike the show, there's a man who dresses up like a bear, and he's, like, the dancer.
Okay. Dancing bear. Very period appropriate.
There's also juggling of flaming torches and bowling balls. Again,
dangerous.
There's caroling, and it's just a full-on show. It's incredibly elaborate. It's basically medieval times as a dinner, right? Also, if you ever want to go, just know that you're expected to wear a tux or a formal gown, like a ballroom gown. You cannot wear costumes. Don't try to dress like that era. So if you ever find yourself in Christmas time at Yosemite National Park and you have a ball gown and $320 per person.
Oof. Oh, is that all?
Excluding tax. You can experience this dinner for yourself. You'll definitely get a better waiter than Kirk, but I can't promise you anyone that will look like Milo, so just keep that in mind.
Wow, I love that it's real.
Yeah. I mean, I always love like going to the Renaissance Fair, and it feels like it's just a really fancy Renaissance Fair dinner.
Yeah. Actually, I can't remember dates at all, but last year, Emily and I actually met up and went to Medieval Times.
Yeah.
Yeah. And it was a lot of fun.
It was fun.
Yeah. We lost. Our horse did not win.
We did.
Our person did not win. But, you know, it's fine.
Appropriately, though.
Can't win
his character
all.
Sucked.
Oh, yeah. He was a sucky character. Yeah. But, you know, so, you know, all those stuff, it's fun. It's just pretending to be in the 18th or 19th century. But, yeah, that was my reference this week, a short little one. So after references, we're going to talk about Bjork with Emily.
Books, movies, and music with Emily.
So, as it's mentioned at the very beginning of the episode, Rory and Lorelai are creating a snowman, or a snowwoman, and as Jess correctly identifies later, it is Bjork, which is impressive, I feel like.
Yeah.
It just looks like a lady with dark hair, but Bjork-ish.
But, like, I looked at some pictures of her, obviously, and I'm like, okay, I can see it. She has a look. But then also the very last scene. So during their Rory and Lorelai's horse-drawn carriage, the song Human Behavior comes on. And that is actually a Bjork song as well. So that's kind of why I chose her. She's kind of the underlying minimalist secondary theme of the episode. So I looked up her life a little bit. And did you guys know she started singing when she was 11?
I did not.
Like, she had her first album when she was 11.
Well, she's Icelandic?
Yes. So she is, yes, so she's from Reykjavik in Iceland. So her stepdad was a musician. She enrolled in, I'm guessing, some kind of high profile, like, private school that had, like, either a massive music program or was just kind of a music school when she was six. She was enrolled in this school. So at a school recital, she sang Tina Charles' song, I Love to Love. Her teachers recorded it. Sent it to Iceland's only radio station. They played it, and off of that, she got a record deal and a contract.
Oh, wow.
Wow.
And released her first album, self-titled Bjork, at the frickin' age of 11.
Oh, damn.
That's incredible.
What'd you guys do at 11? I got grounded for going to the library.
I don't remember what I did at 11. Who was I at 11?
I was still, like, making mud pies and stuff.
So, before that, she was trained in classical piano and flute, so she has a very musical background just from very young in general.
Actually, I remember when I was doing that at 11, I was watching Gilmore Girls.
Yeah, so through her teen years, she did form an all-girl punk band named Spit and Snot.
Very cool. Very punk.
She formed a jazz fusion group, and then she collaborated with another music group called Jam 80. She helped form a band called Kukul? K-U-K-L. Mm. There are a lot of Icelandic names in her history that I have no idea how to pronounce. So she helped form that album. She helped form that band. They released a couple of albums and then split due to just personal issues. And then she started performing with another band that eventually just kind of, I think, started giving themselves different names at different concerts until eventually they just kind of called themselves the Sugar Cubes. I cannot say the name of this band in Icelandic. Sikramolanir?
Sure.
Sugar Cubes.
Cool.
So she was in that band for a while, I think about 12 years. They released multiple albums. They were huge in Iceland. They did a North America tour that went pretty well. And then after they split up, she moved to London to pursue a solo career. And she had her first international solo hit, Human Behavior, which we sing at the, or we hear at the end of this episode. Basically, since then, like, she is a vibe. And yeah, she's released multiple albums. She has just a very specific sound. It's eclectic. It's kind of indie. But it's electrical. It's kind of a little bit of everything, and I love it.
I gotta admit, the only thing I know about Bjork is the swan dress. And that's
yeah,
it.
Which yeah, would have been the year that this season was airing, oh, yeah, I think.
So this
yeah, 2001.
Pre-swan dress?
Yeah, so the swan dress she wore to the 2001 Academy Awards, just for our listeners, it's this white, feathery, it's really quite a beautiful dress, but its neck, the swan, so it's all feathery up to one boob, and then it kind of breaks off to be the swan's neck, which then curls around her neck and comes down, and the swan's head covers her other boob.
It's a look.
It's a vibe, yeah.
I mean, Bjork is a vibe. Like, she herself. So for charitable work, though, there was a tsunami that struck Southeast Asia in 2004, and she worked with a couple of different other celebrities to help raise over $250,000 for UNICEF. And then on the other side of things, in 2008, she attacked a photographer who took a picture of her in New Zealand.
Oh, yikes. I mean, I kind of got that too, though. Not gonna lie.
But yeah, overall, Bjork, she is a vibe. She is her own person. Like, I don't know if anybody else kind of really compares to what she does. I guess you could almost compare her to Cher, and that Cher is also her own thing, which I also love. Like, there's nothing bad about that at all. But yeah, that is, I don't know if that's media, I guess. Music?
It's kind of music, yeah.
Yeah, that's music. After Bjork, we have Fashion with Jess.
Making fashion choices with Jess.
Okay, so finally, I feel like we've been in a little bit of a fashion slump. Obviously, colder weather, people wearing a lot more coats. Sometimes those coats are beautiful. Sometimes those coats are not as beautiful. But we do have some really standout pieces in this episode. I want to jump right into my, well, we already kind of discussed my worst dress, which was Luke's Diner outfit. Like, it's just, it's genuinely a confusing piece of clothing, and I don't know how it is worn. Maybe if I, like, really blow up the picture and look closely at it, there's a button or something, but it does appear to be, like, a closed cowl neck that is attached to an open cardigan.
It's very
and
confusing.
The Argyle shirt underneath, it's like this orange, green, red Argyle. It's confusing. So for that reason, it was my worst dressed. However, my best dressed. So a lot of people come dressed up really well for this party. I'd like to point out that Dean does not. Dean is not dressed up for
what
this.
What does Dean wear? Just his leather jacket? And like
he's,
a shirt?
He wears like a V-neck sweater over a t-shirt. I think even Jess is wearing like a
button-down,
up shirt. Like, you know, he looks like he put a little tiny bit of effort in. And of course, obviously, Clara is dressed up in her Walmart. I don't know if Walmart's ever sold a dress that looks like that.
It was cute. Yeah,
it was probably a nicer dress. It was cute. Rory's dress is really pretty. It was not my best dressed, but it is this brown satiny dress. It's got an A-line poofy skirt. And when you look closely at it, it's got this really cool vine leaf pattern that starts at the waist and goes up and down. Really pretty. She wears with dark tights, which it's winter, so I get. Oh, and also, Emily, when she arrives, looks stunning. She's got this black, you know, suit dress kind of combo like we see her in a lot, but it's got this really stunning gold trim on it that's so sparkly, and she just looks great. But my best dressed is Lorelai.
Yeah.
Lorelai's dress is, like, stunning. It fits her like a glove. It's this black kind of silk satin maxi dress, but it's fitted. It's not fitted in a way that it's tight. It's fitted in a way that it is tailored exactly to her body.
Yes.
It's got a square neck. It's sleeveless. It cuts right above the ankle. And she wears it with some strappy black heels. And she has, like, one single necklace as her... It's incredible. I could go on. I love this. I hope you guys also love this. This is a really fun look. And especially because we'll see some, like, more formal looks from her throughout the series that are more of a miss. This one was a definite hit. And then, for my steal item, it's an odd one, but it's actually Emily's pajamas. Emily, when she comes into the girls' room, they are silk pajamas. Mm-hmm. They're these, like, white
with
silk
the robe, right?
Matching set. Yeah. They are beautiful, and something that I have learned or been working on over the past couple of years is upgrading my sleepwear. I spent most of my life up to this point sleeping in, you know, my brother's cast-off pajama pants or just like a big shirt and shorts or a sweatshirt or whatever, but I started investing a little bit into like actual pajamas. It has changed the way that I feel about like getting ready for bed and like even just like getting up and lounging on a Sunday morning. I would absolutely steal those pajamas. They look great. They look soft and silky and they feel so good on your skin. So that is my worst, best, and steal of the episode. Did I miss anything that you guys really hated or really loved?
Rory has this red like sweater in the very beginning of the Friday night dinner. I just love.
Oh, with a little...
With the cutouts,
open.
Yeah. I just thought it was
it's
so pretty.
It's not quite a cold shoulder. It's just like an open mid-upper arm. It's pretty.
Yeah, I don't know. I just think it was really pretty. Maybe it was just on her.
I had a shirt like that.
Like, just the way that she has it styled, and then the little, like, headband and everything. It's so quintessential. Can't speak. Quintessential? I can speak. It's such a Rory vibe. That's what I'm trying to say.
Mm-hmm. I had a very similar shirt that was kind of like a bluish color, but yeah, like it, the end of the arms band, the arms ended like right above the elbow, and they were a little tighter, but the top of it was kind of loose.
Do you have another note? In the scene with Suki's horrible outfit, mm-hmm. Rory's blue turtleneck is really cute.
A lot of blue yeah. turtlenecks in this mm-hmm. episode. She has a blue turtleneck. Lane has a blue turtleneck. Mm-hmm. And then, like, right next to Lane at the dinner is a staff member who's wearing, like, the exact same shade of blue and also a turtleneck, which I thought was kind of
Lorelai's funny. Wearing a pink one, like...
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And, oh...
I mean, it's winter. It's cold. Yeah.
One of my other favorite outfits. You guys ready? This is a classic me, Jess, moment. The outfit that Jackson is wearing when they're doing
there
their prep
it is.
For the show.
I was waiting for the overalls.
He's got overalls and a really chunky rib knit green turtleneck. And the funny thing is, like, you could have seen this outfit on half of the girls on my TikTok For You page over the last 12 months. Like, it's a current vibe. I still, to this day, say Jackson is a trendsetter.
Obviously.
So much so that Dean, I joked in my notes, which is a really silly thing to say, I joked in my notes that Dean is stealing Jackson's sweater because he, at school, is wearing the exact same sweater. Big, chunky, rib-knit green.
I would just like to say at the beginning of Jess's fashion... I pulled my screen share up, and I went to Netflix, and I went to the picture of Jackson in this outfit, because I knew it was coming.
It's a great fit.
And I don't know if you noticed, yeah, I was
dying, I love it.
And it was just because of that. I was like, I'm waiting for the overalls, I'm waiting for it.
It's a great outfit.
The only downside is that Jackson does not have his hat on in this
Oh,
scene.
Yeah, he's missing
no,
his hat.
No, that would have made
missing,
it.
Missing the beanie.
And also he's wearing, like... work boots, like rain boots with it, which kills the vibe.
Next
but
to
that
sad
was fashion.
Man.
And after fashion, we have Stars Hollow Speaks, and we have a lot to share.
Yes, we do.
Yay!
Over
I mean,
the
it's
past,
good. It's great.
Yes, over the past week, we have been discovering some situations where we actually missed people who reached out to us previously, and we want to make sure to make that right and say hi to all of those people today.
So we got a ton of responses. A ton of responses. First up, Ellen. Our girl Ellen, who's the best. This is one of my favorite episodes, and where we finally see the fully formed cast. It was so nice to see the townies interact. Like, honestly. Yes. I hope I pronounced this right. Alas Hanks. It encapsulates everything I love most about Gilmore Girls. I love the giant town sleepover, the parallels between the three leading women in the bathroom scene, the Rory Jess glimmer, and the overall quirkiness of everyone together. It's so wholesome and fun. I agree completely. Like, this is one of my favorite episodes. It's one of the episodes I go to. It's like a comfort episode, right?
It is.
It's a good one.
Yeah.
Lisa and B says, who was the guy who built the over-the-top snow sculpture? They know everyone in Stars Hollow, but somehow miss no Michelangelo. Well, he's a ringer, right?
Mm-hmm. He is a ringer.
Like, he was brought in. He's not even a townie. Talking Fast podcast with shout out. This is my favorite episode. Again, I mean, I understand why.
It's a lot of people's favorite.
Yeah.
And lastly, Shane also commented, favorite Gilmore Girls episode. Can't wait to hear your thoughts. Well, thank you very much, Shane. And thank you to everyone, honestly, who commented. Like, this is a great episode. Let's throw that out there. But we got a couple bigger comments.
Yes, some people had more to say than could fit into the little Instagram comment box. And so Gabriella said, I love, love, love the dinner episode. Love Lorelai in the intro scene. Love how Laura and Suki orchestrate Jackson being Lord Bracebridge. Love how Luke and Jess are low-key matching for the dinner. Ooh. And how Lorelai definitely put Luke sitting next to Bootsy on purpose just to annoy him.
Good point.
Laura and Emily getting ready for bed is gold. So is Rory's reaction. And love how Richard describes Emily as someone who likes lists and plans, which is just like Rory. Sometimes we wonder where she gets it from, so I totally get that. Great point.
Yeah.
And I love how beautiful Lorelai and Luke look when going through town together on the horse ride.
It is very cute.
Yes, Gabriella. Agree with all of those points. Mm-hmm. We also had a message from Ariamsita. Sorry if I mispronounced that. And she said, in my top three of all Gilmore Girls episodes for sure, just love the feeling of all the town together, plus the Jess and Rory chemistry. Only the way they look each other is amazing. Yes, super good. And then we also got one message from Ninja Slayer Girl, and she said, I think the sleigh ride with Jess and Rory is a very important scene because Rory starts to question why she's in a relationship with Dean. Also, their look at each other at the end is one of my favorite scenes with them. It is very obvious at that point just how attracted Rory is to Jess.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
It is a very pivotal Jess and Rory episode.
Yes. Thank you to everybody who reached out to us on Instagram. That's always a great way to get in touch with us.
And then over the break and shortly after we came back, I spent some time just Googling us because why not? And I found a website that had all of our reviews all together on one site and discovered that there was a review from 7 months ago on Podcast Addict that we completely 100% missed. So, first of all, so sorry to Alaska Grandma. Aww. We completely missed your review. She said, I was excited to find this new rewatch podcast. These ladies pick up on a lot of details that others haven't, and I really enjoy their casual, easy-to-listen-to style. I also enjoy their interaction with the audience. Maybe they will mention that they have a grandma from Alaska listening to their great podcast.
I hate that we missed this message so much.
I know! I love that so much! So hopefully...
So 7 months later...
hopefully yes. You're still listening. And we're so excited to have a grandma from Alaska as a listener.
Aww. Yes, we're so sorry. Thank you. I love the review. Alaska Grandma, we're so sorry it took 7 months to shout you out, but yes. And then we also had a couple emails as well. We had a quick email from Kitty. She said she's a big fan of Gilmore Girls, and I also listen to your podcast, and it makes me so happy every time I listen to a certain episode. Gilmore Girls has been my favorite TV show, and I would always rewatch my favorite episodes, and it would still cheer me up. I love that there's a podcast that talks about each and every episode. So thank you, Kitty. And then we also got an email from Missy, which is another one that we missed. It got thrown into our spam folder. Thankfully, this one is not 7 months old. It's 3 weeks old. Oh. But at the beginning of the year, Missy, thank you. She said, I want to let you know that this, just this very minute, on January 4th, I finished the most recent podcast, Like Mother, Like Daughter, after binging all the previous ones since Spotify alerted me to town meeting on Christmas Eve.
Oh, wow.
I did leave. Yeah. So.
That's a lot of episodes.
What, 10 yeah. days?
It's a solid binge.
Yeah, I love it. She did leave a couple of random tweets along the way, but now that I am all caught up, an email telling you ladies how much I've enjoyed the ride seemed in order. I love that you love Gilmore Girls as much as I do. She watched it during the OG run and is now Lorelai's age. Same. Shout out, yeah. Girl, so am I. and that you're also applying a much more critical eye to this rewatch. I love the sections on music, literature, and fashion. I love that you all seem to have become really great friends off the back of Sandra's desire to talk Gigi with others. And I love the little peeks into your real lives that do or don't parallel Laura and Rory's or any other Stars Hollow town folks. Hope you had a wonderful week season. Oh, and she finishes it up in all caps. We just got Jess.
Yes.
Yeah. Yay. We need to talk about her surly, beloved surly bad boy.
So possibly her name is actually Simone. So either Missy or Simone.
Yeah, I just, Missy or Simone. Sorry. It's signed from Simone, an obsessed fan of yours and Gigi from Australia. It popped up in our Gmail from Missy. So thank you.
Yes.
Either way, thank you. Regardless of what your name is, we hope we got it right.
And the last thing we want to mention is actually something we only found out literally today, like an hour before. Yeah.
Yes.
I was taking my Google
search. See, I'm not the only one.
I was like, what happens if you Google Gilmore Girls podcast? Spoiler alert, we're number 4.
Which, considering there's like professional podcasts.
Oh, yeah.
Like, that's really nice.
Number 1 is with Scott Patterson.
Yeah. So, like.
Yeah. So, like. That's impressive.
I'm happy with it.
I'm proud of it.
Screen Rant did a little article about Gilmore Girls podcast to listen to, and we're mentioned.
We made the list.
Town Meeting, a Gilmore Girls rewatch podcast with Sandra, Jess, and Emily, is a bi-weekly, not quite, but it's okay, podcast that talks about each episode of the series. The group of friends love a good Gilmore Girls reference. We do.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
And talks about 2000s fashion choices. Yes, we do. Mm-hmm. Rory's relationship mistakes. I mean, that's basically Gilmore Girls. And how Lane is the real hero. Very true.
Yes, justice for Lane.
Among other things. Listening to this group of friends is like being in Luke's diner with them. Each episode runs over an hour, giving listeners an in-depth review of the episode they're watching. That's so great. I didn't even know what to say.
Cool. Like,
I've never had an article written about me before.
Yeah, and if anybody else would like to, we're available.
Right.
I was sitting on the couch next to Sean when Jess sent the message about like number 4 on Google and the Screen Rant thing, and I was like, look at this, see, and we're even in the like the initial load of the screen, because like when you load, it shows the first couple, and then there's like a view more, show all button or whatever, and like we made that line.
We're above the fold, baby.
Yes, that is the word for it. Phrase for it.
Well, thank you so much to everyone. Again, a big sorry to anyone that we missed or just slipped through the cracks. We're gonna find you. We'll Google. Eventually. We're gonna do a Google alert just so we get everything.
Yes.
And if you write to us and you don't hear your name being mentioned, we try to mention absolutely everybody who comments or sends us anything. Mm-hmm. Send us another little reminder. Pop into our Instagram messages and just say, hey, I sent you an email. Check for it. Because we want to make sure we're recognizing all of you. The podcast is absolutely nothing without you guys. Mm-hmm. And we want to make sure that you feel heard. So thank you again to everybody who is listening and everybody who is writing to us. We love it so much.
So to end this episode, we're going to focus on coffee. And this episode is actually a very light coffee episode.
I can see that. Yeah.
I mean, Boosie drank six six beers, but no, we didn't.
Seven?
Oh, yes, yeah, seven beers.
I love seven. Well, Lorelai and Rory only had one cup of coffee each, and that's a little debatable because they were at Luke's diner and the cups are already on the table and the cups were empty. So, like, we don't...
Do we see them take sips of the coffee?
Did they pick up the cups but not put them to their mouths?
No. They're just kind of there. Then. Yeah. Because Luke does have on his tables just the cups already there. Right? But they are eating, so the assumption is that they're going to be...
Our rule is on-screen coffee.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, they didn't take a sip. And, you know... The cups were empty. I mean, that is also just, like, a TV thing.
I mean, to be fair, the cups are almost exactly, always empty, that's what I mean. It seems like.
Yeah. Have we ever had a no coffee all around episode?
We have, yeah.
Yes.
Okay.
I think our first two episodes this season, we didn't have any
coffee. Yeah, it was rough on the coffee front. So, yeah, I guess a no coffee episode.
Yeah, so, debatably, no coffee. You can kind of debate a cup, but no. I think we're going to stick with no coffee, because they didn't drink.
It was a fun episode, though. Oh, yeah. Coffee count always seems to be higher on stressful episodes.
That is true.
Yeah.
And this was fun. This
was peacock pie. Come on.
Bracebridge dinner.
Well, guys, I love this episode. And I had a lot of fun talking with you guys about it. I know that we took last week off, but just as a reminder, we're going to take every last Thursday off of the month. Just to give us a little bit of peace of mind and stuff. But we hope you stick with us. We are very grateful and appreciative. And I'm sorry that I sounded like this today, but I have a missing tooth.
I thought you sounded great. Fine.
Yeah. Well, thank you as always. We love you guys.
Yes.
We will see you next week.
I was Sandra.
I was Emily.
And I was Jess. And we'll see you in the next one.
Bye.
Bye.
Thanks for listening to Town Meeting, a Gilmore Girls rewatch podcast. If you'd like to get in touch with us, you can do so on Instagram or Twitter at Town Meeting Pod. Or if you'd like to send us an email, send it to townmeetingpod@gmail.com. And if you'd like to toss us a couple bucks and support the podcast, find us on buymeacoffee.com/townmeeting.